Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is just after 10 on Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle. Unradio, unscripted. And as we move into new territory this morning for one of our very special guests, definitely uncensored. Candace Mama, so cool to have you in the studio with us.
John T., I'm so excited to be here.
Well, that's good. You have no idea. Because you nearly weren't. And I was kind of wondering, like, is this because you want to get spanked that you're going to be late? Or is it that you just were actually kind of chickening out?
I would never chicken out. You know, okay, that I corner you every time you're here,
yes,
right?
I'm
like, I love your show.
Okay, Jonty, I'm taking a picture of her ring to show the listeners that she is a little bit afraid of being here today. Okay. We're not going to be fisting anybody today.
Yeah, so that ring comes with a warning that when you are engaging in sexual activity, unless you are into some serious pain, that ring is to be removed.
It's like, I love you. I really want to have sex with you, but just, you know, try me.
So there we go.
It's the punk.
Yes, so let us begin with a really interesting
Ninja Sex.
Chocolate Starfish.
Twitter Bang.
Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
Altocalciphilia.
Dirty dictionary word.
Altocalciphilia.
Don't even go there. No, don't. I'm sorry. My English is so limited anyway. Let's just skip that. No. Candace?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But it's quite a word.
It's quite a word. There's a clue.
Okay.
Lift one of your legs up, like your feet.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. There's the clue.
Wait, I'm taking the picture for the clue.
Okay.
Oh, so
there's
shoes.
The clue. Yeah, you need to be more specific.
Da-da-da.
You need to be a lot more specific. Actually.
A shoe fetish.
Fuck, every photo I take of her, it looks good. So we're going to keep her here.
Just keep taking pictures.
Yes.
Absolutely fantastic. So let us know what altocalciphilia is. Join our conversation on 0861-555-189. We are on WeChat. We're on sextalk_CliffC. Candace
Twitter?
Is on.
Candace Mama.
Candace Mama on Twitter.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Lots of avenues to chat with us this morning.
Woo-hoo.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. I'm scared. I have to tell you guys,
scared.
I'm a little scared.
What are you scared of? Everybody walks in here. You know, everybody we meet at the station wants to come on the show, and then they say, but I'm scared. It's like, so what are you scared of? Of what's the worst thing that could happen?
Junty, there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah,
a
but
lot.
The worst thing is, and this comes from so many times, people come and they say, I want to have this experience, or I want to be a model for a massage demo, or I want to come to sex, and I say, but I'm scared. And I say, so what's the thing that you're most scared of? And you know what they all say without fail?
What?
That I'm going to enjoy it.
But she can actually have fear that
that's
she's going to...
That's the biggest fear.
I might enjoy it too much.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you also might need to be my model for the squirting tip today, or for the sixth position of squirting. So you should be scared.
And then,
Slightly.
So then maybe instead of the other show on Cliff Central, you might just spend a little bit more time in
the other show with
studio.
That what's-his-face, no one,
that other, like,
Tomisha, nobody knows. Yeah.
We love you, Tomisha.
Only like 30,000 followers. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
he bought them all. I know where he got it. I know the guy. I can hook you up. Well, not hook you. Can I hook you up? Are you single? Are you not?
What's... I am single.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So
stop
you can
everything.
Completely hook me up.
My boyfriend almost hooked up with her, by the way, in her show.
Yeah.
They invited him to talk about business. And yeah, and York was almost, he was like, she's so pretty. She's like, better choice.
Well,
I give
know,
you that.
Sharing is caring, and the family that plays together stays together for the rednecks and all that. So.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Very cool. Okay. How did you get to be on radio?
On radio. It was actually a very funny story. I was always here getting interviewed for my personal story, which was a story of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I cornered Rena and Gareth and I said, I want to have a show.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while I'd come in as a guest. And then when Tumisho was branching out alone, he asked me if I'd be his co-host. And yeah,
okay.
Here I am.
Fantastic.
Mm. And she very, just very launched cool. a website as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Tell just us. Candace.
Yeah, so that's I read what you wrote about sex, and it was really interesting, the idea, the fear of writing about sex.
Oh, yeah.
And first sexual experiences. And on the way here this morning, I was thinking about that, and I thought about something very interesting.
Yeah.
My first sexual experience was horrible.
Oh. Shame.
It really was. And it was one of those that the opportunity was there, so I'm going to take this opportunity.
Okay.
Because of all this, I was 17.
Oh.
And there was all this like hype about it and like, you've got to do this. And I was actually, as a teenager, really scared of girls.
Oh.
I really was.
Jeez, okay.
And the opportunity was there, so I said yes. And it was horrible.
No, is it?
It was. And I thought, if this is what this is all about, then we have a serious problem.
Never again.
But I got over that.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
So you wrote about that your first experience was...
It was pretty awful.
Yeah. So my thinking about this was... How many men actually have nasty first sexual experiences? Because for women, you kind of more expect that in a way.
In a certain way, yeah.
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 But I was just wondering, when I was driving here this morning, I thought, how many men actually have lousy first experiences?
I'd also want to know that.
Mm. Yeah. A lot will not admit it.
Yes.
And they will, because, and also don't forget the mechanism of biological pleasure. Women need more time. They need to be connected to a safe space.
Yes,
but also the pressure on men must be huge.
And because they're supposed to know all this stuff, but how the heck do they know it?
From
and,
porn, Jonty, from porn.
Yeah, and that's kind
and that's a terrible teacher.
Yeah, and that was our first kind of starting point for this discussion is how did you learn about sex?
You know what? I don't think I learned so much about sex as I viewed, if that makes any sense. I mean, in school, we had our life orientation where it's like, put a condom on a banana and that kind of stuff. But
did they teach you to put a condom on a banana with your mouth?
They did not do that.
How they practical.
That would have come in handy. But
so do you want to hear my funny condom
fruit
story?
Please.
On one Kumanani day on TV, they asked me to go and demonstrate how to put a condom on with your mouth.
Wow.
So I phone my friend Elna and I say, just please give me a guideline on how to do this, because Elna McIntosh, wonderful sexologist, she knows how to do it.
Yep.
So I said, give me a guideline. And she kind of explained it to me. So I go and buy these fruit-flavored condoms, which tasted disgusting.
Yeah, they're not good, eh?
And I'm sitting in the lounge with, I don't remember if it was a dildo or banana or a something, and I'm practicing putting this thing on with my mouth. And my daughter, I think she was 16 or 17 at the time, she's sitting there with her phone filming me doing this.
Of course.
She said, you know, Dad, there is no other family in the world that does this.
Definitely not. I can vouch for that.
But you were inspired by apparently a mother and a daughter that you heard in a cafe or something.
Yes, because I like things. And
because I'm listening. I'm eardropping. I like things.
Yeah, like I eavesdrop. So.
Yeah, eardrop.
So I was sitting in a cafe and a conversation started out between a mother and a daughter, and she was about 17. And the way the conversation, firstly, the relationship struck me. I was like, wow, that's so nice. I wish I had this connection with my mom. And she's telling her mom, you know, like she's ready to have sex. And the mom is like inflating sex and like, oh my goodness, angels must sing and all this amazing stuff must happen. And I'm reflecting like, no, that is definitely not going to happen, you know. And she really like told this girl that, you know, it needs to be incredibly special. And I thought, how much pressure do we put on ourselves to make our first time so amazing? And we're all like, grrr,
absolutely,
you know. So yeah, so that's what inspired my first sex blog.
And that's fascinating, that amount of pressure, because it's all very well that as a woman you want to have those feelings, but you have to think about having a partner who actually can kind of match that.
Yeah.
And if you have a guy of a similar age to you, fair chance he's nowhere near having enough knowledge to match that.
Yeah.
So it's
I was lucky. Well, not lucky. I think I was both. It was a blessing and a curse. Mm. The guy that took my virginity, I was 22 and he was around 35. So, I mean, he took a lot of time and I was just like, damn it, this is getting painful, you know, like, this is not working for me. Yeah. And, you know, eventually I had to just be like, okay, no, I'm done.
Well, she's also very skinny. Maybe it works on the, you know, like it's very small. It's tight. No, but really, I had a friend.
There is no correlation.
There's no correlation. It's a joke. But I had a friend. She said to me, practice with carrots, cucumbers. Practice. Just kind of get acquainted with the sensation. And I actually did with my first boyfriend. And we tried a few things. And then the first time was actually kind of more pleasant. And she also told me, do it in divide it to two. First time, go halfway. Second time, go all the way. So I told him a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Okay, I was 12. No, I'm kidding. I was 17, closer to 17. And it went all in and everything was great. Thank you. Yeah, I know I'm great. But I had a good experience. But again, we prepared.
Yeah,
we talked about it.
Which that's comes important. Down to so many sexual experiences happen where people are just kind of fumbling around in the dark.
Yeah.
Or one partner kind of reads something or they see something and they think, I want to try this.
Yeah.
But they don't know enough about talking to their partner about it to make it a good experience.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we have this amazing expectation that spontaneously, it's just supposed to happen.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be so smooth and so like, you know, that's what actually got me the most about the first time, I think, was romantic comedies and shows and they show these smooth transitions, right? You just transition from one position to the next and it's great.
Jonty always says that. Right? There's a trail of clothes.
Yes. And it's just passionate and beautiful. In real life, you have to like pause. You're like, no, stop. Okay, hold on. Let me just readjust. And then you continue. So there's a sense of, you have to have a sense of humor about it, I think.
And it's I say that so much that we have to laugh more about our sex. We have to take it a whole lot more seriously in terms of learning, in terms of communication. Mm-hmm. But we also have to make it a whole lot less serious because a lot of times sex is hilarious.
Yeah. And if you guys can both laugh about it, it takes out that awkwardness and expectation that you're supposed to blow my mind. And, you know, and if we're both having fun, then either way, it's going to be a good experience at the end.
And it should be fun. So when we have all that pressure on us, that's when it becomes not fun because then it's this performance. Yeah. I have to make you come and you have to have this huge cosmic explosive orgasm.
And you have to like scream like your life depends on it.
Yeah. And that's what happens in the porn movies. So from that, have you watched a lot of porn?
I've watched sufficient porn. I don't think a lot. I don't know what a lot counts for. Like,
yeah,
is there more than five?
In today's world, it's like.
Is that more than 10? I don't know. But I think I've watched sufficient amount to know that it's unrealistic in a lot of ways. But I also think it's good. It's like a good learning tool because you start learning that, okay, you can do this. And you can, especially when you're not, you haven't had a lot of sexual partners. Mm. So it really becomes a good learning tool if you use it correctly.
Okay, so what did you learn from watching porn?
Quite a few things. I didn't know women could do some of the things that are in porn. And some of it I cringed. I was like, whoa, what the hell? You know, like a woman's body can take a lot.
Absolutely.
And like,
you can have babies fisting. As well. Double
oh,
fisting.
My goodness. Yeah. That scared me. I was like, whoa, that is definitely not in my repertoire, future plans. But, you know, it just taught me just the comfort of being able to talk to someone. And also in the act, because sometimes it gets so awkward. You're like, do I say something? Don't I say something? And I think it built my confidence to be able to communicate during. And if something doesn't feel right, how to say it in a correct way. Not like, no, stop it, man.
Mm. What are you doing?
What are you? Yeah, exactly. So you say it more sexy and like, yeah, no, that's, you know. And I think position-wise as well, I think it taught me a lot more positioning, you know. So, yeah, I think it can be very useful.
Absolutely. If we look at it in the right way.
Yes, yes.
And I think it could actually be quite a cool educational tool, like with discussion.
Oh, yes.
Not just watching it and understanding that that's the be all and end all. Because a lot of particularly young men, I think more than women, take what they see in porn as being realistic.
And that's what they expect in the bedroom.
Yeah, without understanding that is a fantasy.
Yeah.
And what you see in porn or what you see on the screen is actually often the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
You know, like especially a lot of guys watch porn and you'll see an anal scene and a guy just puts his cock in and off they go.
Yeah.
And that is you know, no. There's so much preparation that's needed before that.
Yes.
True that.
And so much education and communication and touching and massaging and preparation and feeding and cleanliness and all these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And they just kind of get this idea that this is how it happens.
And that's it. You know, we just transition.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I agree.
And that becomes really so, so important. And it's a huge thing.
It is. That's why I think I love the show so much, because it's also very educational, you know, because I think especially maybe because I've been more with black men than I have with white. But I know it's very taboo in black society to, you know, discuss sex before, you know, you do it. It's like, why are we talking about this? You know, we just do it. You know, it's just animal instinct. And I'm just like, no, we're going to have a conversation, because I'm not going to do this, not enjoy it. You don't know what I like. I don't know what you like. And we kind of just fumble in the dark for 3 months. And then we're like,
3 months you didn't get out of the bedroom. That's amazing. Junty, she's a real sensualist. for 3 months.
practice.
So in your experience, however narrow or vast that might have been, and we're not going to put you on the spot and say how many.
But you can share if you want.
I'm not that adventurous, guys. It's less than 5.
So what's the biggest difference between, in the partners that you've had, between black men and white men?
I find, and I'm generalizing it,
of course.
But I find that with a white partner I had, they take more time. I think they're definitely not afraid to take more time in the bedroom and, you know, make sure that you're okay and you're taken care of. And with black men, in my experience, not all of them take the time that is required to get you to a point where your body's completely at ease, you know. So it's a bit faster in a lot of ways.
So we got to kind of wonder how much of that is down to education.
Oh, yeah.
More than anything else.
Oh, I think it's 100%. 100%.
Mm. So the interesting thing then is, as our society changes in South Africa, would education keep up with that?
I hope so.
In different kind of cultural groups. Because if it becomes more acceptable in school, which is more kind of the biology of sex than anything else, would that change?
I think so. Because I think in school they teach you have sex to procreate. You don't have sex for pleasure or happiness. Exactly. So, and I think promiscuity would drop a lot if we actually educated people on other aspects of sex, except just, you know, kids having to sneak out behind the school. And, you know, if it was more normal in society, I feel
and
like we'd actually control
the choices that we have.
Precisely.
But that's a very interesting idea. And I really like that if we taught kids that sex was about pleasure, the choices that they would make would be very different.
Oh, yes, I think so.
And if we could teach them different techniques, like, for example, one of the things that I teach is called expanded orgasm. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing way to have pleasure that doesn't involve oral sex, doesn't involve penetration.
Oh, wow.
So there's no kind of bodily fluids.
Oh.
It gives amazing ways to explore pleasure and to have incredible experiences. And it's a real safe sex experience.
Jeez.
And it's pleasure beyond belief that no penetrative sex will give you.
So if we taught, if we taught young people that there are more pleasure options, that would change their the way they have sex.
Why they have sex as well. Exactly. Why do
it would be more about like taking?
Because you said I gave my virginity, and I thought
that's it,
and
right?
You said he took. You said he took. Yes. And I thought you gave it. And you were complete with it as you explained. Which
And it's its own interesting idea. The incredible value that our society, Western society, has put on virginity.
Yes, but you know, it's actually very good that you brought that up, because I also find myself doing that at times because of the deeper conditioning that's within me. And it's, I gave him my virginity, and you know, he took it.
And he didn't pleasure me.
Precisely. And I mean, I think actually that was the best experience of my life in terms of it changed the way I viewed life. I mean, I was a prude before that. I was just like, I am buttoned up. I do not do these things.
But that's a good girl. A good girl is taught not to be sexual.
Exactly.
Not to think of it.
I was also very miserable.
They go so closely together there.
The most judgmental people are usually the most
the ones that aren't getting any. No, but seriously.
But those are the ones with the deepest fetishes, because they're often the most repressed.
And everything's suppressed.
Precisely. So I really credit it for being actually a very eye-opening experience for me, even though it wasn't what I expected it to be. But I became a different person. I started thinking, okay, wow, you know, I can view life differently. This wasn't a sin. I didn't get struck down by lightning on my way home. You know, and
the ground didn't swallow you up. Precisely. And all the rest of it.
And I didn't do it in marriage. So it's like, you know, all these things that I was taught, nothing bad happened to me. You know, actually, I became happier. So I was just like, yes.
There we go. Do you know, I was watching, when I write, I put kind of old movies and old series on.
Okay.
And it's just kind of there in the background, and I watch a little bit and I write. So I was watching Shameless, the American series of Shameless, which I absolutely love, simply because it's so over the top. And there's this young daughter, she's what, 13, and her biggest thing is to lose her virginity.
Oh.
And then you watch and you hear these things about these parties that fathers are having with their 16-year-old daughters where they give them like purity rings and they promise their fathers they're not going to lose their virginity until they get... Like, what the fuck has that got to do with your father? It is the most absurd and ridiculous.
It's called paranoia.
It's beyond that. I mean, it puts it in like the Stepford Wives type category of what is this?
It's ridiculous.
You can see on YouTube all these movies that the father's in the front seat and he's the daughter's five or whatever. What you're never going to have? But I want to have a boyfriend. You're never going to have a boyfriend. And that's the end of the good psychology.
Scariest thing. And the stuff that it must create in us, you know? And women who are auctioning their virginity, you know, on the porn sites for $50,000 and $100,000 and whatever. It's the most ridiculous thing. Oh, this value we've put on this.
And as well, with the value placed on it, I feel like there's also a sense of the women who have lost their virginities outside of marriage, there's a sense of judgment there whereby if you've dated more than three people, four people, whatever the number in certain people's head is, it's like, oh, you're such a slut. This on you, you know, you'll never be respected in society. You know, there's just such a huge stigma.
Unfortunately, it's true.
Paradox of pleasure that we've created where we have this incredibly sexualized society where sex is selling everything. And yet when a woman expresses the fullness of her pleasure, all the slut shaming that goes with it.
Oh, yeah.
And the power. Because it's really interesting because we're kind of coming up to Women's Day. So we're looking quite a lot at female sexuality. And we're talking about something really interesting next week that I'll tell you about in a little while. And so much of it is about the power that women don't know that they have.
Oh, yes.
Because one of my teachers had a wonderful saying, the power of the pussy rules the world. But women don't know that, or they're not allowed it.
Yeah. They're not allowed to acknowledge that.
Yeah. And that's the truth. Because literally, I mean, wars have been fought about that. And governments have toppled. And people have given away thrones for women, for love, for sex.
100%.
And that's the real power of it.
And I think not enough women are expressing that power. Only, you know, because of society. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, how dare you capitalize on the fact that you're female and sensual and sexy, you know? And you see the judgment if you go into a boardroom dressed in a tight dress. Mm. Oh, she's just doing this, you know, she's going to sleep her way to the top. So there are all these stigmas still in society. So it's terrible.
Yeah. And it creates this just warped view of men and of women, of sex, of relationship, of everything to do with that. And it takes away the beauty and also the transformational power of sex.
Oh, yes.
And that's huge because if we all had a higher level of pleasure, our world would be a very, very different place.
Yeah.
There's no question of that.
Mm.
In your article, you do say it's like a beautiful dance.
Yes.
And you say also that you shouldn't believe, you should really practice it, fake it till you make it. Or, you know, that's one of the things I hear quite a lot from women saying, don't try to get it right the first time, but don't try to get it right the second time. And the more you're going to do it from the right circumstances, you're going to have better pleasure. Yes. And you gave the interesting example of it's not like driving a Bugatti.
Yeah.
It's like more like riding a bicycle in the beginning and falling. Do you want to elaborate? Do you want to explain where did that analogy come from?
You know what? Because I think with sex and society, when you watch it on screens, and it really seems like this incredible, mind-blowing experience. So I thought like it was going to be like driving a Bugatti for the first time. Like, wow. And instead it was like riding a bicycle in the rain. It was like, what the hell's happening?
So, which brings up quite an interesting thing, the difference between the first time and the second time. Because I actually, sitting here now, I have no clue what my second sexual experience was. I have no memory of what it was.
Okay.
So the difference between the first and second, I have no idea.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? The second one doesn't have as much like, we don't put as much importance on it. We put first time and maybe the last person you end up with.
Yeah. But so it's like between the first and the second, I think, is quite important because it's like, okay, so what have I learned in between? Mm, and even if it's kind of, what has my body learned?
That's it. That's it.
In between.
Maybe it's
and that's
like
kind of an interesting idea.
It's, it's like Einstein says, don't do the same thing. Well, Einstein said, don't do the same thing and expect different, you know, different consequences. Do something different. So in bed, you need to learn. Don't just lie there and say, okay, this time it's going to happen right.
Yes.
Information.
That's
information.
Because I always used to eavesdrop on like my brother's conversations. Yeah. And when they'd speak about sex, I'd think, how can a woman, because they'd be like, oh no, she's a lousy lay or whatever the case is. And firstly, I was very offended because I was like, excuse me, like, you know, she was there, whatever. And then they're like, no, there's nothing worse than a woman who doesn't show enthusiasm to be there. If she just lies there like a pillow, you're like, okay, like, are you happy? Aren't you happy?
But you got to wonder a lot of times then, how much arousal is there for a woman from the man's point of view to bring that out in her?
Yes.
Because that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
Never mind what you think she's doing.
Mm.
What are you doing?
To make her.
That's it.
That's it. But you know what the problem is as well? I feel like with myself, I had to take this on and say, okay, I'm going to teach myself what makes my body happy. But I've got friends who are very close-minded still around the topics of sex. And and I've told them, like, you know, you need to educate yourself. Like, watch a porno or two and, you know, just see what makes you happy if you get aroused. If you don't get aroused, then they're like, no, you know, like, you should just be happy I'm there. I'm like, no, that's not, because you want to be happy you're there. Why would you waste your time if you're not if you're not even into it?
That's kind of interesting because that idea of happiness, I've been looking a lot lately at that in my own life.
Yes.
At what makes me happy.
Mm.
And the interesting thing is that there are some things in my life at the moment that have contributed, I think, to me being some of the happiest that I've ever, ever been in my life, which is really, really beautiful looking at that. And I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about a relationship. And he said he doesn't think he could ever be happy in a relationship fully, or that a relationship is about happiness.
Hmm.
It could be like moments of happiness,
yeah,
but not happiness
consistent
in itself.
Mm.
And how do we equate sex and happiness? Because I think for a lot of people, they are worlds apart.
Mm. Yeah.
They are not the same thing.
Mm.
It's more kind of about the orgasm. It's about a little bit of sensation. Or as my friend Galen Fuss in America says, it's a little bit of friction in the dark. And where's the happiness in that?
Yep. Yeah. Jeez, and I've never thought of that.
And that comes to a whole different world, actually.
Mm.
Like having sex and feeling happier at the end of it. Not just the release of orgasm.
Yep.
Or kind of a little bit of pleasure chemicals running around your body for a few minutes. But actual happiness. Mm. How happy does sex make you? And that's where you have to go kind of into making love.
That's it.
As opposed to just having sex.
Yeah.
Which are kind of worlds apart.
Yeah.
So how would you define making love?
You know what? Making love to me starts way before the physical act occurs. You know, if you're stimulating my mind and I can tell you care and that you want to be in my presence and you're taking me in, you know, and that's just before the touch already. Then already I become like, whoa, okay, I'm into this. I'm into this. And then it's about taking time. The fact that you care about how I'm feeling during the experience and before the experience and then after the experience, you know, the cuddling and the holding, for me, that it's a whole experience. If it's just like a wham bam, thank you ma'am, it's I'm just like, okay, thanks, bye, you know. So both of them I think serve a purpose.
Yeah, they're different experiences,
but I think for me, making love is just, it's mental, it's, you know, physical, it's an entire experience.
It's presence.
Yes.
And that's it. So I was thinking, it was a kind of, I went to a beautiful experience this week, a sound journey. That awesome friend of mine, Courtney Ward, does. We've had her on the show. She facilitates the dolphin retreats that we do up in Mozambique. And for me, it's often an inspirational experience. So I came out of that with the idea that religious people tell us a lot about what God wants from us and what God wants us to do.
Yes.
So when it comes to sex, they tell us very much what God doesn't want us to do. So I was thinking about this, and during this beautifully inspirational experience. So I went and had a conversation with God, with Goddess, with Spirit, with the universe, because we all have the same channel. Whether your name is pastor, whatever, or priest, whatever. Yeah, we all have the same channel to God, to the Goddess, to whatever it is that we call that. And I came up with some kind of interesting ideas. And the first one was some kind of commandments of sex. So the first commandment of sex was absolutely yes. In incredible, bold, underlined capitals with lots of exclamation marks. Yes.
Wow.
And the second one is presence. To be there, all of you, body, mind, spirit, heart, all of you to be there. Because that's the real power and that's where it kind of all happens. But more times than not during sex, we're not there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're in some fantasy in your head, you're somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings up, does fantasy play a big part for you in your sex life?
In certain aspects, I think. And I think it depends on the individual as well, who I'm with. And I think fantasy has a place and a time, you know, within the union and relationship. But, you know, I think it's a 50-50 for me. There are times when I do need the fantasy and I do need to build up an idea in my mind. And then there are times where I just want to be physically present and just take in the entire experience and the entire moment. But I have to really be into you to be in the taking in the experience type of mindset. But if I'm not that, like if I like you a lot because I'm there with you, but, you know, I just feel like, this isn't really going to go anywhere.
So it's kind of more the sex then.
It's more the sex than the actual, you know, experience. So yeah,
and a lot of that goes to expectation. When we think something is what it's not, or something is not what we think it is, quite simply, that when we take expectation out of the equation, we can see an experience or a person or a situation for what it is, and that makes it so much easier. How do you think men and women look at that differently?
The fantasy.
Yeah, or the expectation.
I think it actually works both ways because I think with a woman, in the that's why in the first couple of months, you know, you've built up this idea of this man and you're like, yo, he's going to rescue me and he's a lawyer and whatever the case is. And then like that's when the fantasy's in play. And then when all of that strips away, you're like, oh my gosh.
Because once the clothes are off and you're kind of lying on the bed, then what? Yeah.
Yes. It's that after moment, right? Where you're like, damn, okay. And then I think with men as well, because men are incredibly visual. So I think when you, when you're all together and you've got your red dress on, your red lipstick, and then it's all about the fantasy. Wow, I'm making love to the supermodel, whatever they're thinking. And then when you guys are lying there at the end, I mean, your hair's a mess, your lipstick is gone, the red dress, you in your bare self, you know?
I saw somebody this week in the mall that I said, wow, her after sex is not what I'm seeing at the moment. It's just the hair was so perfect with the red lips.
Exactly. So it's just, I think for both parties, expectation is a huge thing, especially in the first couple of times doing it, you know.
Yeah, to accept that we are all human. And as we get older, you know, that becomes more of a reality, simply in terms of we become more of who we are and more comfortable with our body. Like you won't fart in front of somebody who you've just met. Because that's a good impression, you know? Yeah. And some of the noises during sex.
Yeah, we just listened to Gareth.
We were sitting with Gareth before the show.
Yes.
And we were playing this whole track of farts and queefs. And you know what a queef is?
A pussy fart. Shame Candace is being exposed to a lot of stuff. So, okay. Hi, Candace.
So we're talking this whole soundtrack of the difference. And could you identify the difference between a fart and a queef?
A pussy fart,
And it was kind of an interesting one. But that happens during sex.
All the time.
You don't, and that's real.
And definitely in real relationships. You know, one day to go to a date, so you know, you flass, you know, you do everything.
And you wax.
After 3 months, as you said, in the dark, you start dating somebody, then you sleep together. The chances you're going to fart.
And you snore.
You snore. You have, you know, something not so, things that are not so sexy. You walk on each other when you're in the toilet or something. No, don't come in. Happened this morning to me. So, yeah, you know, it's things that you need to understand. The real sexiness comes from from intimacy. To know each other's soul, to want each other's soul. Not just, listen, you're a hot lady. Every guy will want you. Every girl as well, almost. But
Really, it's not even you know. Yes, you when you are with somebody for a long time, it's not about the looks. Exactly. It helps, but it's not about the looks. It's about how you really deliver your body to your partner or to yourself. How do you treat yourself? Mm. It's important.
But I also find that I'm not actually drawn that much to physicality. I mean, I've got, of course, everyone's got their own type that immediately catches your eye when they walk into a room. Mm. But I'm more, if you can stimulate me mentally and I just feel like you, like I keep saying, you into me, then I'm just there. I'm there. I'll stick it out. I don't care what you look like. Mm. I'm just happy that, you know, we have a connection.
So do you know the proper term for that?
I do not.
Sapiosexuality.
I'm a sapiosexual.
Yeah. When the mental attraction is the biggest draw card.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. I'm definitely a sapiosexual. Mm.
But it is. That's so important because physical attraction at some point changes and it has a limitation.
Mm.
There's a point at which, okay, so kind of I've seen your boobs enough. They're really nice. Now I want the next.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then what else is there?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, I had to learn it very early that your looks, well, they don't necessarily fade. You know, they stay.
They change.
They change. But as your looks are changing, no matter how attractive someone finds you initially when they see you, after constant exposure, we all become used to something. Then we forget that, oh, she's, then you need to hear another person saying it. Like, oh, wow, she's attractive. Then you look, and you're like, oh, she is, right? Like, damn, I got a good one. But if it's a mental thing, you stay longer because it's like, you know, nothing, you don't run out of conversation because you guys are constantly growing mentally and spiritually, and that's important.
That word is so important, is growth, because so many people go into relationship with the expectation that we are going to be the same as we are now, which is one of the stupidest ideas that you can have, because we change every day. The things that we see, that we hear, the experiences that we have, that changes us. And if we don't change and grow with our partners, and I have to say, I'm working a lot at the moment with some couples who are in some serious relationship pain.
Mm.
And one of the biggest issues becomes when one partner decides to grow and the other one won't or doesn't.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we have this one partner simply goes on this amazing journey and the other one stays where they are. And the expectation is we are going to be the same.
We're growing together.
That's when it's a different story. Or you're growing and I'm growing.
Yes.
And then what we have between us can actually be more.
Yeah.
And we can find different ways of relating, of bringing ourselves together. Because I've come to see this about a relationship, that essentially you can't fix a relationship. I can change something in me. You can change something in you. Then what's between us can be different.
I like that.
Otherwise, all that we're doing is we're kind of doing the same thing.
Mm.
So couples come very often and they say, so if we learn more about sex, we think a lot of the problems are going to be solved. And then it's like just more technique.
Yeah.
So you're going to use it for maybe a week because it's kind of exciting. It's like a new toy.
Mm.
But we go back to being who we are.
And it becomes a pretense almost.
Yeah.
It feels like you guys were pretending for a week. Then you revert back to old habits.
Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting question. Do you think we can change as people?
I think we're constantly changing as people, actually. I think, I mean, I know myself, especially, I mean, the person I was 2 years ago is not the person I am sitting here today. And even when you meet people, like you just said, you know, as you grow as a person, you are constantly evolving and changing. And if you're not changing, there's a problem because it means you stagnated somewhere, you know. And it is, it's terribly unrealistic to think the person you meet today is going to be the person they are in a year, and what they value today is what they're going to value in a year.
Because life changes us. You know, you have kids. So when your kids are young, there's certain things that are important. As they get older, those things are not important anymore. But to you as an individual, certain things are important.
Yes.
And at some point, they become a whole lot less important because maybe they just don't matter so much.
Yeah, because you've realized and you've grown. That.
And other things become even more important.
Precisely.
And that's where we need to learn very different. It's like one of my big things at the moment is education for relationship. Because loving somebody is nowhere near enough to have a relationship.
Yeah.
True.
Nowhere near.
It's like loving
cooking. Just because I love you.
Yeah.
Fuck no, that is nowhere near enough to have a relationship.
To put energy
that's
there.
That's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many of the relationship is a skill.
Oh,
it's an
yes.
art and a skill.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that though, because I was having a conversation with someone yesterday and I said, You know, it's so funny. We are not taught as women, as young women, we're taught to aspire to marriage, but we're not taught how to actually be wives or partners to our men. Because as soon as you're now in a marriage, you think that automatically a fairy will come along and it will be smooth sailing. But you don't know how to treat that man and how to relate to that man. You don't know how to treat yourself and relate to yourself, you know. And it becomes very problematic that we're striving for this thing that we don't actually know what to do with.
Yeah, we want to get married, and the marriage and the wedding, especially the wedding, the big thing.
Oh, man,
I've got to have this. And this fairy tale wedding, it's great.
No, it's about the wedding.
What the heck happens after that?
Yeah.
Precisely.
So I wake up with you tomorrow morning, and then what?
Because now all the wedding stuff is gone. Everyone is gone, and now it's like after honeymoon, now what? Now what do I do with you? Do I feed you?
Yeah. Okay, so I think...
And you know what's interesting? We don't learn. Somebody quoted something to me the other day in a discussion. He said about 50% of first marriages fail. Guess what the figure was for second marriages?
65?
It was about 70.
70?
Yeah.
70% fail, second marriages.
Yeah.
Wow.
And more than that, what do you think the figure was for third marriages?
Jeez, I'm even scared to guess.
It was even higher.
Oh, wow.
Oh, 80%?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Again, you're doing the same thing, trying to get different consequences.
Exactly.
We haven't learned anything, and we're doing the same, and we attract the same kind of people.
Yes.
So, if that's the case, how is anything going to be any different?
So, do you allow me to give 2 minutes of what can we do different? Can I? Mm. Can I? Can I give a tip?
Yeah?
Yeah. So, I'm just thinking about... things that come from me. So first of all, you know, the first thing for me is coming for therapy, of course. See Jonty, see people that are around you that are good. That's the, of course, the first thing. But apparently there's quite a lot of things happening around the world in the tech world. Oh. And a lot of things are happening because we are shy, right? Mm-hmm. We are not always, we don't feel comfortable to approach, right? Mm-hmm. So there was an interesting issue this week from Daily Maverick, and it was in a few more places, about women in sex tech. And the women behind sex tech in Europe. Wow. So it's something, you know, women are changing the reality, and there's a lot of things that are happening. And of course, you know, when you go to Jonty's workshop, you'll never be the same. You'll be a happier woman. For sure, it's guaranteed. But some people are still shy. Mm. And this article is actually talking about three women. One of them is behind a very big company that is Mystery Vibe in Europe. Mm-hmm. Her name is Stephanie Ellis. And she is focusing on toys that are encouraging dialogue between the partners. So you can talk about what you're going to do, how it's going to work. The different vibrations even are according to her mood. Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
The second thing is about a woman named Tanya Boller. She's the head of Cairo, which is actually has a product called Pelvis Floor Exercise Tracker. Helps you to see how is your pelvis reacting during sex and so on. And how can you obviously work on tightening the area or just working, you know, Jonty is right. Absolutely. It's not always about tightening the area. Yes. It's about actually moving more blood there. And she's actually the first woman in the world that managed to get to the UN and bring their the first curriculum around human sexuality in the UN. So that's something that she's from Stanford University.
Wow.
That's a big innovation in that field. And the last one is Kate Moyle, that she has a new app, which is something that I think Jonty can relate because he's doing very similar things. She has an app called Pillow Play, which is around, she's a psychosexual therapist, and she brings technology to couples that if you can't disconnect from your phone, you bring it to the bedroom, and every day you have 6 to 8 different activities to connect to each other, from tantra to modern sexual therapy, to bring it how to reconnect in that modern day and age. And that's just something from people that are a little bit still afraid to be exposed. The best is to come and talk about it and do things face-to-face with obviously a good recognized therapist, but there are things out there.
I love that.
Yeah, it definitely does. It can add. There's no question.
Mm.
But with technology, you got to put it in the right context.
True.
Especially people who have these online relationships and we are soulmates and perfect for each other. Mm. Firstly, the idea of soulmates is the most absurd fucking
we
idea.
We are Skype mates.
Yeah. It's like there's one person out of 7 billion on the planet for me.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it.
I'm monogamous, one relationship at a time.
It's ridiculous.
That's important.
Yeah. And because we have this amazing Skype connection and Skype sex, and we talk about everything.
So exciting.
And then you meet and there is no chemistry. There is no there's nothing.
The worst. The absolute worst.
So we got to put it in a context. That's really, really important.
Yeah, and don't bring your phone to the bedroom like, hey, honey, I'm just going to, you know, let me just take us on. Yeah, don't do that.
No.
The new Tinder social, also a funny thing, but yeah, modern technology.
Because it's about presence.
Mm.
And that takes us so far away from presence.
Mm. I agree.
That's what fulfills us, is the heart stuff. Mm-hmm. Not the orgasms. Orgasms are wonderful.
Yes, true.
You can have 30 orgasms in an hour.
Wow.
And then
actually,
what?
I'm like,
wait, let's hold it.
I'm like, I was with you, but 30, damn.
Okay. So here's an interesting extension of that. How many different kinds of orgasm do you think a woman can have?
Okay, I know vaginal, and I know clitoral, and I know anal, but I think those are the three that I know.
Okay.
I don't know. Are there more?
Okay, there's 13 to 17, depending on kind of the categories that you put it in.
That's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot of ways to be happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. A lot of ways to have pleasure. So.
Yeah, geez.
But Jonty's right. It's not about. It's you have to put the orgasm aside. If that becomes the mission.
Yeah, so orgasm in its
orgasm
way
yet?
Becomes a trap.
Oh. Did you finish yet?
Yeah.
Can I go to sleep now?
Yeah. Like, what? Finish, 1, 2, 3, good, bye.
Yeah, that's it.
1, 2, 3, you're lucky, dude.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
That's it. Because after all the sex and after that connection, do you have a relationship? That's the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you get into the deeper aspects of sexual energy and making love and intimacy, you know, then you're talking about 3, 4, 5 hours of pleasure that take you to these different worlds that are just beyond what most of us experience. So I picked a number a while ago, and it came out of the idea that we use about 10% of our brains.
Okay.
And some people come along who use more.
Mm-hmm.
Einstein, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, things like that. You know, people are coming along at the moment who use more of their brain.
Yes.
So I picked a figure that said, at the peak, most of us will experience about 30% of the pleasure that we're capable of.
30%?
If that.
Oh, that is sad though.
Yeah.
But I can believe it. I can believe it. But it's sad.
Yeah. And a lot of that is because we don't learn about sex.
Mm. And we shy away from it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And as soon as you start opening to more, wow.
Yeah. Well, you could be getting 70%.
That's imagine that. That's where we could change the world, where you'd literally could disappear.
I think that would actually be like kryptonite.
Yeah.
If you could make someone experience 70% of pleasure, you can control the world.
Absolutely.
It's power beyond belief. Yeah. It's power beyond belief. It's bigger than a it's bigger than a cock. It's bigger than a multi orgasm. You know, it's like when you know how to give a woman pleasure or a man pleasure from a beautiful place of giving pleasure can't really be wrong, because that means somebody's tuned to you. I can't give you pleasure if I'm not listening to you and I'm not humbled and I'm not, you know, I'm not, and I think I know everything. You're different.
Yeah.
And that is something that is just has to change in the perception. Yeah.
Different. So let's go back to altocalciphilia.
Show us your beautiful heel again.
Again.
Okay.
So that was the clue. And alto, see, you got a much better view from there.
Such a good view, you don't understand. I'm so lucky.
I'm so glad I wore these shoes.
I'm so glad you wore that pants.
Oh, no, it's a skirt.
I'm getting in. I'm going in. I want to do the squirting tip. Oh.
So, altocalciphilia is a fetish for high heels.
Oh, shut up.
There you go.
And we're going to give a little periscope of a little high heel positioning of how do you but it goes with a foot fetish, you said, right?
No, it's a high heel. Oh,
okay,
fetish.
But you said sometimes you can find it with people that
The clue was the shoe.
I know, but I read in the definition.
Oh, it's connected to a foot fetish. Yeah. There you go. You're absolutely right.
But I can see why someone would have a heel fetish.
Mm.
I mean, a woman's leg just looks incredible in heels. Mm. So I'm just like, yep.
The fact that they screw up your hips is a whole other story.
But they make your calves look amazing.
Yes. So they're for standing in, not walking in.
Precisely.
And it's,
precisely.
Yeah. And it's another thing that we ought to educate some men about. High heels are not comfortable in bed.
Oh.
Because guys watch porn. And, you know, even if you look at a range of like sort of softcore porn pictures, unless you look at sort of amateur porn, you do not see barefoot women.
Oh, true.
They all have shoes or sandals, or it's the most
ridiculous. So you better do something with it.
Oh, yeah,
I heard so many people with that. I heard so many people with that.
Ridiculous.
It's really bad.
Thing.
Jeez. Yes. I don't know what I'd say to a guy who expected me to keep my shoes on.
So here's an interesting question for you. Because next week, one of my really good friends, Kerry Weaven, is one of the most amazing yoga teachers. Mm. On Women's Day, she is doing, and I think it's probably one of the first in South Africa, a nude yoga class for women.
Wow.
Amazing.
In a very specific way. So next week, Kerry is coming to talk to us about it and about female sexuality, about sexual energy, things like that. Would you go to a nude woman's yoga class?
Oh, wow, I don't know. Look at me, like we need to be more empowered about sex. And I'm like, so I don't know, a nude. But you know,
so now we're putting you on the spot because the question is actually, and I never thought of this before, that you need to go to this and you need to come back and talk to us about it.
Yeah. About doing nude yoga.
Yeah, and what the whole experience and everything
was
like.
You know
like.
What? Because I can't back away from a challenge. I'll definitely do that.
That's it. So we will hook you up with it. And afterwards, you are going to come and tell us what it was all about.
Awesome. I will love to do that.
So closer really look, closer awesome. Look of your beautiful shoes. Wait, I'm periscoping it.
So that's what we are going to talk about next week, which is fascinating. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Great. Now I'm going to be the nude yoga person.
There we go. So somewhere, and this is something, it's happening in a couple of weeks, so put it in your diaries. Tuesday the 19th, I'm doing a free talk with Courtney, and we are going to do a mini sound journey. We're going to do a mini touch workshop and talk about the next retreat in Mozambique and what that's all going to be about.
Tuesday the 19th.
Yes. So that'll be up soon.
Awesome.
Which is really cool. I have to tell you something. We have a lot of people on the show.
Okay.
And some of them, we are so happy to come back and chat with us.
Yes.
And some of them, we are so glad that they have spent the time with us. And thank you very much.
Yes.
We would love for you to come back to the studio anytime that you like.
Thank you so much. I was so scared. You were like telling me subtly like, yeah, no. So this was the last one.
No.
Send us a tweet about the nude yoga.
So any Friday morning, you are so welcome.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you, Tima. Oh, this was fun.
I'm still I'm going to take you after the show now to do a little broadcast of the tip of the squirting tip for our listeners, because I promise, and everybody's waiting for it, we don't have time, so we're going to do it on Periscope in 2 minutes' time. It's a loving position to learn how to make a woman squirt. Tune in to put to Periscope. I promise you, no nudity, but a lot of steam. Well, they almost blocked me last week when we had this lady, wonderful lady, showing us how to strip.
Yeah.
I almost got blocked. Really, that's horrible.
Well, I think soon we are going to have, as part of Cliff Central, there are discussions underway that we are going to be able to video the show.
That is wonderful.
And that's when we can really do, like, every week, a sex position, so many different tips and things, which will be awesome. Because so much of this is visual.
Yes. Yeah.
So discussions are underway. Watch this.
So to see the reactions, of people when you talk about sex, you were so scared when you came in. Now you're all loose and naked.
Because, you know, it's at Sexpo every year, we show the Yoni massage video, which is very explicit. And it's all these women having this pleasure and these orgasms and genital close-ups and things. And what's more fascinating than what's on the screen is watching people watching that.
Yes.
And every year people come and say, you know, you should have a camera above that going to another screen. Because sometimes it's shock and sometimes it's horror and it's amazement and it's all these
And some people are like, no, I'm not watching, but I'm watching.
That's it. I'm looking through my fingers.
Yes.
And women who cover their faces. You've got one of those. Why aren't you having the pleasure that you could and should be having?
Yes.
Don't look at it in disgust. Why the fuck are you at Sexpo if that's the case?
I don't think it's disgust. It's feigning disgust.
I've said fuck a lot this morning.
Jonty's furious today. He feels strongly about things today.
He's like, every woman should be able to fuck anyone they want.
Well,
yes.
That's the power, and have the pleasure that you want, whether that's one person or 20 people. But that's the power to make your choices and to know that you can make those choices. That's what's so important.
I love that. That is important.
This has been really cool.
This is amazing. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
So next up is Casper and the team, and they're actually going to be in the studio on time this morning, it looks like, maybe, because they're sort of standing up and...
and smiling.
Maybe
and
making moves in this general direction.
Let's hope they're on time.
Well, whether they are or not, doesn't matter. Because they're going to be good when they get here anyway.
And we had a great show. So.
Visit Candace Mama's new website.
Yes, which it's www.justcandace.co.za. So just Candace. That's it.
Wonderful. Thank you again. And thank we wish you. You so much pleasure.
Thank you, John.
This is CliffCentral.com.